A glimmer of hope in that S&P downgrade of the U.S. debt outlook.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. When the rating agency S&P sounded the alarm on U.S. debt yesterday, the news sent shockwaves from Wall Street to Washington and beyond. But investors in Europe don't seem all that bothered this morning, perhaps because debt downgrades are familiar territory for them. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us now from London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
So I take it this is sort of deja vu for the UK.
Yes. In fact, two rating agencies put the UK on negative watch, saying it could lose its AAA rating. That was back in May 2009. There was an election later. A new government came to power, and brandishing this threat of a downgrade, the new government pushed through a pretty severe deficit reduction plan. Stephen Lewis of Monument Securities thinks Obama may be able to do the same because his opponents won't want to take the blame for the humiliation of a US downgrade.
The president may use that threat as a weapon to bring elements in the Congress into line in support of his plan.
So maybe Congress will put through some steep cuts. But dare I say this, Stephen, you guys did all those cuts and now your economy is shrinking.
Indeed. I mean, the UK is in a very fragile condition. Unemployment is rising. Consumer spending has just fallen off a cliff. Critics of the UK government say the cuts in public spending are to blame. They've dented consumer confidence. Supporters, however, say that at least the UK has kept its creditworthiness intact.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, mobile handset maker Sony Ericsson is the latest economic victim of the Japan quake. It says profits fell 48% last quarter because of supply chain disruptions. Those disruptions have been particularly bad for the Japanese auto industry. And Marketplace's Scott Tong has the story now of one factory car, a car factory boss who's going to incredible lengths to get things back up and running.
Throughout the crisis in Japan, one thing that stands out to locals and foreigners alike is the country's resiliency. Case in point, Hiroto Yokoyama, manager of the Iwaki Diecast factory, some 30 miles from the heart of the devastation. The plant makes carburetors and compressors for global automakers. Yokoyama names a few.
Such as BMW, Fiat.
But his biggest customer is Honda. It's no accident that every worker at the factory drives one. Yokoyama's men are still fixing up their workshop. The quake buckled the factory walls and sank hallways. Out of 250 workers, 45 lost their homes to the tsunami. 25 lost immediate family members. But Yokoyama pressed on.
We halted 1 week after the disaster, but we are getting back to production. We'll be at 75% production by the end of April.
The man delivers, come rain, sleet, or radiation. Iwaki Diecast's own supplier is idled inside the nuclear plant zone. So this week, Yokoyama sent his staff in with radiation suits to bring the supplier's machines back to their factories so they could keep producing.
We need to show the industry we've recovered quickly. I fear people are exaggerating how bad this is.
Japan's admirers say this is what the country does best. Tag Murphy teaches international business at Tsukuba University.
People will go to extraordinary lengths to keep grocery stores open, to keep supply chains open. Now, this is an extraordinary reservoir of strength that has provoked something close to awe in much of the world.
To be sure, Japan Inc. is now being tested. There's an electricity shortage, trains are out, labor costs are up, and so is global competition.
This is a critical time. Will we endure this?
A lot rides on this question. Not just a few hundred jobs here and at a sister factory in Arizona, but also Japan's squeaky clean reputation for reliability. In Tohoku, eastern Japan, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning, but the prices of gold is at another record high, almost $1,500 an ounce. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 140 points to close at 12,201.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
BlackBerry's tablet computer, the Playbook, goes on sale this morning. It's Research in Motion's attempt to break Apple's dominance of the tablet market. But the Playbook's been panned by most reviewers, and analysts are expecting tepid sales. From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Research in Motion used to own the smartphone market. Its BlackBerries were known as crackberries, and addictive enough to tempt many spouses to want to break them. But these days, RIM is in trouble. Its market share in the U.S. is collapsing.
I think one of the biggest problems with Research in Motion is that they have let their software stagnate relative to what we've seen other smartphone players do.
Brian Blair is a mobile analyst at Wedge Partners. He says on an iPhone or Android, you can explore the solar system, identify new music, or pilot a drone. BlackBerries don't do any of that. So when RIM created the BlackBerry Playbook, its new tablet, it built in a new touchscreen operating system that executives hope could compete.
I think this is their effort to catch up.
But there are problems. The Playbook doesn't have built-in email or a calendar unless it's synced with a BlackBerry smartphone. And there aren't many apps. Blair says it needs to correct these issues quickly if Research in Motion is going to regain its footing. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, a closely watched list of the top restaurants in the world. The San Pellegrino list is out. Chicago's Alinea restaurant is again the top U.S. restaurant on the list, at number 6 in the world. The other 5 American eateries in the top 50 are in New York. The full list is at marketplace.org. The winner this year, number 1, is a restaurant in Copenhagen called Noma. For $210 there, you can get a 7-course menu that includes beef cheek and pear, potatoes and milk skin, and oyster and ocean, whatever that is. That, by the way, is the lunch menu. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The oil we use in our everyday lives is tough. Hard to reach, not easily refined, and we have to jump through the other country's bureaucratic hoops to get it.
And the number of the hoops and the character of the hoops change with the price of oil.
I'm Bob Moon. Our series marking the anniversary of the BP oil spill continues with a look at geopolitics and oil supplies. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.